Hi, welcome to Think Jesus Cafe, a place where we think about the truth claims of Jesus Christ. This is Mark Day. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast. Let's take a few moments now and think about keeping the circle small. When conflict rises in our life, one of the most difficult things to sort through is finding a process for moving forward. In other words, many times in a conflict, we struggle to find the best next steps. Thankfully, Jesus gives us the way forward in peacefully resolving personal conflict. The passage we want to take a look at today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, 16, and 17. In these three verses, Jesus says this: If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses even to listen to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. The immediate context of this passage concerns church discipline and the process to follow if a person sins against someone in the church or the church body as a whole. But the principles Jesus teaches apply to any situation, in the church, in the family, in an organization, or among social groups. So let's take a look at the conflict resolution process put forward by Jesus. First, notice that the very first step is that the offended person is to go personally to the one who made the offense. And Jesus adds clarity by saying, between you and him alone. It's essential to recognize this point, between you and him alone. I like to call this keeping the circle small. Jesus says, just between the two of you, alone. Notice that Jesus does not say that we are to tell our friends about the offense. We are not to gossip about the other person, nor are we to post our offenses on social media. Just between the two of you, alone. So the first step, if you are the one offended, is to go to the other person and talk with them. Also notice the personal nature of what Jesus is saying. Jesus says to go and tell him. Of course, electronic communication was not a concern in Jesus' day, so email, text messaging, and the like are not immediately in view, but we have to always remember the divinely inspired nature of Scripture. Divinely inspired, which means that God's principles transcend the ages and transcend the centuries. By the way, it's not as if God was unaware that social media would be coming along 20 centuries later. God wants us to learn a reasonable and rational way to address conflict no matter what age we live in. It's also interesting to think that people in the first century used couriers to deliver messages. One person would say or write a message, give it to the courier, and then the courier would deliver it to the intended person or party. Today, your courier is your email, text messaging, or social media. But Jesus says, go directly to the other person and talk with them, face to face. That's the first step. That's the plan. Go and meet the person face to face. Of course, there are geographical and practical considerations. Some conflicts involve people living across great distances, so face to face may not be possible. But as far as it is possible, just go and talk with the other person face to face. Telephone may be necessary, but personal interaction is always better. Can you imagine how many conflicts could be resolved with this one simple step? Just go and talk with the other person and explain how he, she, or they offended you. Isn't it interesting how people today can be so bold, so confident, so aggressive in the way they talk to other people? As long as it's through a courier, as long as it is at a distance, over the telephone, over email, over text message, over Facebook, over Twitter, whatever tool is used, people in our day can be so aggressive in their accusations. But it is a different story when we meet face to face. And that's the point. There seems to be more honesty, sincerity, and caution in the use of words when we meet face to face with others. But you and I live in a time when many conflicts are argued from a distance. We text from a distance. We email from a distance. We ask lawyers to speak for us from a distance. Politicians publicly slander and gouge one another from a distance. All this is counter to what Jesus teaches as the first step to resolving a conflict. Go and speak to the other person, just the two of you. It's amazing just to think about how many conflicts could be resolved before they reach the crisis level, before they reach the point of explosion, if we would just talk with one another. But that is not, generally, our first reaction. We like to tell others how bad someone else has offended us. We like to spread it around. We like others to know. And maybe, just maybe, they will have the same bad opinion about the offender as we do. That would be great, we think to ourselves. That would be just great if others felt as negative about the other person as we do. Basically, we want people on our side. But Jesus has another way. Go and talk with the other person directly, one-on-one, face-to-face. So, that's the first step. The second step, in verse 16, is to take one or two others along with you. And this is a reasonable second step. There are times, perhaps many times, that you, as the offended person, cannot get the other person to listen to you. They may disagree or even offend you further when you attempt to talk with them. In that case, the offense has grown bigger rather than smaller. And there may be situations where it is dangerous to go and meet one-on-one with another person. So Jesus says to take one or two others along with you. Now, see how Jesus wants us to keep the circle small? First, just between the two of you. Second, take one or two others along with you. Usually, the fewer people who know about a conflict, the more quickly the issues can be resolved. The greater the number of people who get involved, the more complicated and difficult resolution becomes. So Jesus wants us to keep the circle small. In other words, keep the number of people who know about the conflict at a minimum. Keep the circle small. Now this is a reasonable approach. It could be that I, as the offended person, misunderstand some things. It could be that I have things all twisted up in my own thinking. I'm probably biased in my viewpoint, and I'm looking at things from my one-sided way. So another person, or perhaps two others, could help me understand the situation differently and more accurately. But it could also be that the offender is truly out of line, but won't listen to me and my viewpoint. So another one or two people can be persuasive. When emotions run high, it is our natural tendency to shut others out. We get entrenched in our view and emotionally committed to our own position. So bringing another person or two along will help for better and more honest communication. Notice that Jesus begins this passage, verse 15, by saying, "If your brother sins against you." The assumption is that a sin has actually occurred. In other words, that an offense has truly taken place. It's not some imaginary thing, it's real, and it hurts. And bringing one or two others along can help clear up the thinking on both sides. Jesus also says that a charge needs to have evidence. The evidence of two or three witnesses. In an unresolved conflict, without witnesses, it's just one person's word against the other person's word. It may be that the offending party truly is in the wrong, but it's your word against their word. Jesus knows the importance of having a witness to verify the truth of what's really taking place. So he says to take one or two others along as witnesses. The third step is to take the offense to those who are in authority. Jesus says in verse 17 that if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Remember, the immediate context of what Jesus is teaching is church discipline, church conflict, but the principles apply to every avenue of life. So we want to understand the principle and then apply it to our own life. If the offending party is belligerent, if they're downright mean about it, if they will not listen, if they will not even listen to the one or two witnesses, then and only then are you to take it to those in authority. But that's not what happens in everyday life, right? We are quick to take our complaint against others to the authorities. Rather than talking with a coworker about how they offended us, we send a written complaint to the HR department. Rather than take the first step and talk about the offense with the other person, we sue and fast-track our conflict to a judge in a court of law. Rather than take the step one, then the step two, we are quick to muscle up by reporting the offender to someone in authority. The problem is that when we back the other party into a corner, so to speak, we have increased tensions rather than diffusing them. So the other person or other group naturally muscles up in their desire to defend themselves. Again, Jesus wants us to keep this circle small. Notice that involving those in authority is the third step. It's the third step because when we escalate to that level, we involve more people. The resolution process slows down and there's more opportunity to give an even greater offense. Now, it needs to be said that we all recognize there are situations where a person should immediately go to the authorities. The situation may be so unsafe and unstable that seeking immediate help from those in authority is a wise course of action. For example, perhaps a person is sitting in their home and is the victim of a drive-by shooting with bullets flying through their home. It would be unreasonable to suggest that the victim seek out the offenders and talk about the offense. The police should be called immediately. However, most of the conflicts you and I face are not physically violent. Most conflict occurs in the arena of interpersonal relationships, relationships at home, in the office, or even in a neighborhood. Social conflicts are often an outgrowth of a breakdown in personal relationships, and breakdowns in personal relationships have a ripple effect, so that they often negatively impact many other people. Now, the fourth step. Jesus teaches that if the offending party will not listen to you and the one or two others, if they are belligerent towards those in authority, then and only then are they to be treated as a Gentile and a tax collector. Now, in the context in which Jesus is teaching, Gentiles did not have the same worldview and value system as Jesus and those who were listening to him teach. And tax collectors were despised since they were often of the same Jewish heritage but had aligned themselves with Rome and extorted money out of their own kindred people. So the picture is that Gentiles and tax collectors are outsiders. They are not part of the group. This final step has many applications for our lives today. For example, let's say a physically violent conflict between two high school boys escalates to where the principal of the school is involved, and then the superintendent and the school board. Let's say one of the boys is apologetic and regrets the incident. But then let's also say the other boy is belligerent towards authority, and he won't listen to the principal or superintendent. Then, if that is the case, he is to be expelled, kicked out of the school system. Why? Because he is showing that he has a different worldview in this area of respect for authority and conflict. He has no regard whatsoever for the person he offended, no regard for others who are concerned, no regard for those in authority over him, and no respect for the entire school system structure, a structure that must have peace for learning to take place. So now, he is to be treated like an outsider. He is removed from the school system. But that is not the end of the story for our hypothetical high school boy. What do school districts do with young boys and girls who are not attending school? They recruit. They do not abandon. Now, the young boy is approached as an outsider who the school district would like to see in the classroom. So, a teacher, coach, principal, mom, dad, someone, some adult explains to the boy the benefits of being a contributor to the school and the benefits of an education. Just like an outsider, they explain that there are some expectations that must be maintained and that education is good. They explain that he would be welcome to be a part of the school if he could commit to being a student who contributes to the well-being of the school, rather than being a student who fights with fellow students and disregards authority. The decision is his. The point here is that we are to extend grace to those who show themselves as being outsiders. We are to show grace to others, even those who are committed to conflict. And this is what God has done for those who are followers of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that we were all outsiders. We were not naturally part of God's intimate spiritual family, according to John chapter 1, verse 12. But God extends grace through Jesus Christ and invites us to be a part of His program of salvation for the nations. Grace. Grace is the big issue here in this fourth and final step. Extending grace to someone is not turning a blind eye to the situation. It is not ignoring the problem. Grace is doing something for others that they cannot do for themselves. We can't make God accept us. We're not perfect enough to obligate God to accept us. But God does, in fact, accept us freely with no obligation, but there is a condition. With God, the condition is Jesus Christ. Acceptance is granted only to those who get on board with God's plan of following and trusting in Jesus Christ as the Lord and leader of their life. God does not turn a blind eye to our human tendency to want things our own way. God does not turn a blind eye to our rebellious hearts, but He extends grace. He says, "I will accept you into my intimate spiritual family for eternity. But I have a plan, and the plan is Jesus. And you need to get on board with Jesus. No matter what sins may have entangled us in the past, God forgives and accepts us if we commit ourselves to Jesus. If we remain belligerent towards God and belligerent to what He expects of us, then we remain outsiders." That's the picture here. We are to extend grace towards others and help them understand the importance God places on reconciled relationships. So Jesus wants us to keep the circle small. First, meet privately with the offender, if at all possible. Second, if necessary, take one or two others along with you. Third, if the offender will not listen, tell it to those in authority and seek their wisdom. Fourth, if the offender just insists on not listening to these voices, then they are to be treated as an outsider. Now, this is God's process for conflict resolution. Let's you and I seek to be peacemakers this week. Let's use the plan Jesus teaches and let's not skip any steps. Let's help others understand this very practical process for reconciliation and let's watch God do some amazing things to bring peace to our lives. Thank you for joining us in the Think Jesus Cafe. This is Mark Day. We hope today's message has been an encouragement to you. We invite you to join us in spreading a passion to think like Jesus by asking your friends to subscribe to the podcast at thinkjesuscafe.org. If you are visiting San Francisco or if you live in the East Bay area, we invite you to join us Sunday for worship at Gate Tree Church. Service times and directions are online at gatetreechurch.org. Until next time, think Jesus and enjoy life.